Well, let's take our Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2 tonight. We'll start out there in just a moment. How many of you guys ever say stupid things? Okay. I've been guilty of that a couple times today. All right. Well, Exodus chapter number 2, we'll go there, and we're going to be talking again about the life of Moses here. But here, I want us to get ourselves into where the children of Israel were, where the Hebrews were in their lives and what was happening. Now, we remember that Joseph had been a servant in Egypt for Pharaoh. He had enabled Egypt to survive the famine, and he also, through his relationship with the Pharaoh, was able to take care of his family when they came into Egypt. That's how the Hebrews ended up in Egypt in the first place, was they were Joseph's brothers and his family, and he took care of them there and so forth, and they grew in population and so forth. But then we saw, as we talked about this morning, that they had grown in a large number. It wasn't, you know, when Joseph was there, they could have hauled him out of Egypt in two Greyhound buses, all right? But by the time Moses gets on the scene, it's a couple million. So it's a huge change. And so the Egyptians are quite nervous that the Hebrews are growing in population and on and on. And so we saw them really crack down on them this morning, and yet the midwives said, no, we're not going to kill. The midwives took a stand, others and so forth. And we saw all of those things this morning. Now, when we come to this portion of Scripture that I want to talk with you about tonight, I want to take you and not talk so much about the Egypt and the Egyptians, but I want us to put ourselves into the sandals, if you would, of the Hebrew people. The Hebrew people now, at this particular time, it's been a long, long time. Joseph's forgotten. The king Pharaoh that was alive when Joseph was there, he's gone. He's forgotten as well. We're talking probably a few centuries or more. We're getting close to 400 years because God told them back in the book of Genesis that they were going to be in bondage for 400 years. And so things are you know, if you would, put yourself in the Hebrew situation you know, you keep hearing, God is going to deliver. 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 So, I mean, these people are being beaten down by taskmasters, and they're slaves, and they're building bricks, and they're working, and they're, I mean, they're being abused physically, and on it goes. And they keep hearing, God is going to deliver. God is going to deliver. But I want to tell you something. What they were actually thinking and what they are experiencing was completely different than what they heard was going to happen. They were really being beaten down, driven down. And these people, these Hebrews, were actually, in their minds, they're saying, where's God? Where is God? And is God working? Is God doing anything? Well, let's look at that in Exodus. We'll get it right here in a minute. Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 23. Look what the Bible says. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. That would have been the Pharaoh that Joseph knew and had a great relationship with. Then the Bible says, then the children of Israel, they groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. Now look at verse number 24. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham. God has not forgotten what he told Abraham in Genesis. God has not forgotten that. So God remembers his covenant that he had with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. In verse number 25, the Bible says, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. These people were in the midst of their trial, in the midst of their burden, and I mean they were burdened. They have a heavy load. They are slaves. They are being driven by taskmasters. They're having their children. Remember, they're multiplying, so their families are having children. They're having their families are growing. And they're always anticipating God's deliverance out of Egypt. God's delivering them from this slavery, from this situation. And they're saying here in Ephesians, well, where is God? But God says he had not forgotten. He had not forgotten Genesis 15 when he promised them. I don't know about you, but there are times when, in life, does life always go rosy in the way that we think every day?
No.
Okay, thank you. No, it doesn't. It can be pretty tough at times. It can be pretty rough at times. And so, it doesn't always go the way that we think it should or the way that we want it to. And so sometimes when we're in the midst of that pressure and in the midst of those trials, in the midst of these burdens and these things, whatever they might be, you know your burdens. I don't know your burdens, but you know what they are. And so think about your burden where you're at, and you can say, honestly, when you're under the midst of the pressure of those burdens, you probably in your heart, it doesn't mean you're an unbeliever, it doesn't mean you don't trust God, it doesn't mean that you're a bad Christian, but you do at times, I know I have said, where's God? Where is God in this situation? I need his help. I need his guidance. I need his strength. And so sometimes I think, just to be honest with you, we have to admit there are times when we feel like saying, where's God? I don't see what God's doing. Well, that's exactly what the Hebrews were doing. And they were asking themselves, is God doing anything? And sometimes, we have family members and we have others and you pray for them. And they're away from God and they need to be brought back, and you want God to change their heart, and you pray and you pray and you pray, and it just seems like nothing's happening. And yet, the truth of the matter is, we don't always see what God's doing. We don't always know what God's doing. But does God care? And is he there? And is he at work? Yes, he is. He doesn't always do it the way we would, and he doesn't always do it in the time that we would. Well, even when it seems like nothing is happening, God is there. Well, this morning we saw that God is, he's always at work, and God, he used the women all through the passage this morning. He used the midwives. They refused to obey the king. They feared God more than they feared the king. What about Jochebed, Moses' mother? God certainly used her because she put her child in a basket. She made a basket out of the reeds, and she put it into the river, covered it with pitch, and protected him, and was watching on. God used Moses' sister, Miriam, to be there to watch. God used the maidens of the Pharaoh's daughter to go and to fetch Moses out of the river. God used Pharaoh's daughter to raise Moses, or to bring Moses into her home to adopt him. Then God ends up using his own mother to feed him and to take care of him. So all through there, even though it seemed like this is an impossible, terrible, awful situation, God was using people. He was using people that would put him first, that feared him, and that were obedient to him. God is always at work. Now let's go to our text this morning or this evening, Exodus chapter 2, and I want to go back to verse number 1, and let's go through and look at a little bit of this story here. The Bible says, and a man of the house of Levi, he went and he took as wife a daughter of Levi. Well, the man's name, we find out later in a later chapter, his name is Amram, and the daughter of Levi that he marries is Jochebed, Moses' mother. Now, in verse number 2, the Bible says, so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Now, every mother thinks her children are beautiful, right? Have you ever seen an ugly baby? I have. But I don't say that, right? You kiss them and love on them, and boy, they're beautiful. Amen. God, it's yours, not mine. You know, right? All right. So, I mean, that's out there. But she saw the baby. I don't think it was talking really about his appearance. I think there was something that she saw him that, you know, every mother thinks her child's beautiful for one thing. But I think there was something beyond that when Jochebed saw this baby, Moses. And so she took him. She was not about to throw him in the river to drown or for crocodiles to get a hold of him. But she kept him and she hid him from the authorities, the Bible says, for 3 months. Now, in verse number 3, it says, but when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, and she daubed it with asphalt and pitch. And she put the child in it, and she laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. It's kind of interesting here that she makes this basket, and she puts it in the reeds along the shore of the river. I believe God was working. Even when the Hebrews did not know that God was at work, God was at work. First of all, Amram and Jochebed get married. Then they have this child who is later going to become the leader that is going to lead them out of Egypt. So God was certainly working. God was working using this couple in a way that none of the Hebrews even knew about. So I'm just telling you right now, I believe that it's very, very possible and probably very, very likely that God may be working and moving in your behalf in ways that you don't even know about. The Hebrew children, they knew nothing about this. They did not. They didn't know about it. But God was working and He was moving. Their love for their child was awesome. And they weren't going to just toss him in the river. Now they partially obeyed, right? It said to put him in the river. Well, they put him in the river, but they built a basket for him first, right? So the parents, they obeyed, and they obeyed the decree to that particular point, but they feared the Lord and they loved their child. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, and his sister, and that's Miriam, we know that, she stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Now, I don't know if the mother and probably Amram and Jochebed had probably talked a lot about this in their home and so forth, maybe. And maybe they had talked with Miriam quite a bit about it. And maybe Miriam was there, at the instruction of her parents, you know, watch and see what happens to this basket. Watch and see what happens to your baby brother and so forth. But look at verse number 5. The Bible says, then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the side of the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maids to get it. Now, I want you to see something here. Remember when we talked about this and when we did the Heroes of the Faith from Hebrews? Remember what the Nile River was to these people? These people actually believed it was a place of fertility, the fertility gods. And it's very likely and very possible that Pharaoh's daughter, maybe she had been barren or whatever the case is, but she went down to the river and many of them would bathe in the river, believing that somehow that they would become pregnant, that they would have a child, that they would be fertilized, if you would, and be able to bear children. And so they would go down. Now, I don't believe that she was out in the middle of the Nile with the crocodiles or something like that. I believe that they probably had very special places there dug out on the side of the riverbank, and she would go there and she would bathe and so forth. I don't believe a bunch of people went down and shooed the crocodiles away before she got there. I believe it was probably a very safe place.
But she had maidens with her. She had others that would travel with her and watch out for her. And they were there, and they discovered this basket. Now, I don't know, maybe the basket was crying. But somehow they saw this basket in the bulrushes there in the reeds along the river. And they saw that, and maybe the baby was crying. Maybe Moses was crying. But whatever, it doesn't really matter. But they discovered it, and they brought it, and they got it out of the reeds there. God was working. God was working through a little girl. His sister was there watching. She saw what the maidens would do. Moses' sister was right there. God was working through her. God was working through even a princess, the Pharaoh's daughter. She didn't even realize it and didn't obviously know that she was being used by God. But God was using her. God was working through her. God sent her to the river at the right time. She ended up at the river at the very perfect time to hear that baby or to see that basket there in the reeds. She had her servants with her, all of these things. God was working. He was working through Moses' sister. He was working through this Pharaoh's daughter, this princess. God used even the maidens that were traveling with her for His work. They went and they gathered and they brought that basket to Pharaoh's daughter. Look at verse number 6, if you would, and we'll keep on with the story here. And the Bible says, and when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. He was crying. So she saw it, she opens the basket, and the baby's crying. I don't know how long the Bible doesn't tell us that baby Moses had been there. Might have been very hungry. We don't really know. But it says, so she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews. She knew right away that it was a Hebrew. Why? Because her father, the king, had instructed all the male children to be cast into the river to drown. And now she found one in a basket crying, and right away she recognizes that this is one of the Hebrew children. And in verse number 7, the Bible says, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? God was using little Miriam. I don't know, maybe her mother Jochebed had talked with her and they had kind of planned this, and here's what you need to say when this happens. And obviously somehow they knew that Pharaoh's daughter, this princess, that she came down and that she bathed along the river there regularly and so forth. And so maybe they had practiced this. I don't know. But God's using her. And in verse number 8, it says, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And so the maiden went, and she called the child's mother. She goes to her mom. She goes straight to her mom, Jochebed. And look at verse number 9. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. Wow. God was at work in an extraordinary way. God was at work in ways that we never would have dreamed of, never would have thought of. But He was doing some extraordinary things. And on all of this, in the midst of this, Jochebed is putting her baby in this basket. She really did not know how it would turn out, did she? There's no way that she absolutely knew that it was going to turn out like this. But she did what she believed was right to do. She believed she was being obedient to the Lord. She knew she should not kill the baby and just put him in the river. She knew that. She knew that this was a baby that was sent by God to her. And so she's not just throwing him out there into the river. She didn't know how all this was going to turn out. And yet God made it possible that she would be able to raise her baby for a period of time. God was working in some very extraordinary ways. Now, bring that around a little bit to us. I don't know what our pressure is, what our trial is. Oh, some maybe. But I don't know all the pressures or all the burdens or all the trials that this congregation is having. There's no way. You know, I could sit in my office and think, man, what does the church need? You know, there's all kinds of different directions. There's all kinds of different things. But you see, the great thing is God knows, right? God knows your burdens. He knows your pressures. He knows the trials. He knows exactly what you're going through. And God may be working in some extraordinary ways that, guess what? You and I don't even know about. That ought to be encouraging to you. That ought to be encouraging to realize that God cares about you. Guess what? More than you care about you. God has more passion for you than you have for yourself. God has more passion for your family, for your friends, for the people you work with. God has more love for them than you do. And God may be working in some extraordinary ways that you don't even know about. He may be working in ways that obviously I don't know about. We cannot know all that God is doing. Well, that just blows my mind. The Jochebed puts her baby in the river. And really, she's trusting that somehow that baby would be saved. That somehow that baby would be rescued. And God is such an awesome God that not only does He rescue that baby through Pharaoh's daughter, but He gives Jochebed, Moses' mother, the opportunity to raise him. And not only that, she gets paid to. That's God. That's God doing some things that are extraordinary that you and I don't understand and don't see what He's doing. And sometimes it seems like, well, God's not doing anything. Oh, yes, He is. You just don't see it. Well, look at verse number 10. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Wow. Oh, what a tough day that had to be. What a hard day that had to be. Well, I'm going to talk more about it next Sunday. I'm excited about next week as well. But I want you to think about this. What a hard thing that had to be for Jochebed to bring Moses to the princess and to allow her to adopt him. Wow. But you see, I think, and we'll talk about it next week, I really think that Jochebed had quite an opportunity. I don't know how old Moses would have been, but I really believe that Jochebed had that opportunity to instill in Moses, Moses, you're a special person. God's going to use you, Moses. Maybe she was even telling Moses, you know what, Moses, God's going to use you to deliver the Hebrews from Egypt. God's going to use you. Moses, I don't know why, but God is going to use you. I don't know exactly how, but Moses, you know, one day you're going to have to go to the Pharaoh's house, and one day you're going to become the Pharaoh's grandson, and one day, and she just kept telling him and kept telling him and telling him these things, but here comes the day that she had to come, and he became her son. And look at this. And so she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. That's why he got the name that he got. because she had drawn him out of the water, out of the Nile River, rescued him, if you would. God was certainly at work. And God was preparing him. I think when he was living at home with the prince, with his mother Jochebed, I believe God was preparing and she was instilling in him what he was going to need to do and to be a leader. We'll talk about that next Sunday. But I want to ask you a question or two, and we can say, well, where is God? God was preparing a people. God was preparing. Israel wasn't ready to be delivered. God was preparing his people. God was maybe waiting on the nations of Canaan to repent, and they didn't. God is never in a hurry. We're in a hurry. Our microwaves are too slow. We're in a hurry. But God is never in a hurry, but he's always at work. He's always doing something. He had chosen Moses to be his leader, and he was preparing him. And he's got a lot more preparing to do. We're going to see that in the weeks ahead. But God was preparing. He had appointed, as I said in Acts 17:26 this morning, the Bible says God has appointed us to our times and our boundaries. He has purposes and plans for us, and I believe God had appointed Moses for the very time that God needed Moses. Well, let's do this. Let's make an application, and these are some blanks if you want to fill them in. I want you to catch just a few thoughts tonight, and that is, number one, God never forgets his people. As a child of God, he never forgets his people. Matter of fact, God never forgets anything or anyone, but he definitely does not forget his people. And just like the Hebrews, oftentimes I think we can get to the place where God has forgotten me. What is God doing? Where is God? What is God doing? Is God at work in my life? I want you to see that God never forgets his people. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly your heart's condition. He knows exactly the thoughts that are running through your mind and the things that are in your heart. You know, oftentimes we don't pray honestly with God. We don't pray honestly with him. We kind of, make things prettier. I'll tell you something, for a few days now, the Lord put it on my heart, just pray that God would just reveal your sinful attitudes to you. Well, that's crazy, right? That's a dangerous thing to start to ask God, Lord, show me where I'm sinning. Show me where my heart attitude is wrong. Show me where I'm struggling with pride. Show me where my attitude needs corrected. That'll get you in some trouble sometimes. But I want God to show me that. Because I want God to get the victory over that in my life. So I've been praying that. God is always at work. He never forgets his people. Look at this. God is full of patience. God's full of patience, and he's full of patience and loving kindness. You love reading the Psalms over and over. It talks about God's loving kindnesses. His mercies are new every morning in Lamentations chapter 3. But God is very patient. And he's full of loving kindness. Look at another thing. God never hurries. That's where we struggle, because we're in a hurry. You see, God's eternal. He doesn't have a watch. He doesn't have an alarm clock. He doesn't have any of that. God is not bound by time. He's eternal. God is never in a hurry. Now we are. We get in a hurry, but God is never in a hurry. Look at this. God is also always at work, even if we don't see it. That's the problem. We like to see it to believe it, right? I want to see it so that I can believe it. I want to understand it. Don't do some magic trick that I can't understand or see. Show me. Right? That's how we are. We want God to show us every single thing along the way. God doesn't do that. Doesn't mean He's not at work, but He doesn't show us everything. Let me close with this poem. You've heard it many, many times. It's called The Weaver, Just the Weaver. It says, "My life is just a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot change the color, for He works most steadily. Oft-times He weaves the sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget He sees the upper and I the underside. Until the loom is silent and the shuttle ceases to fly, will God roll back the canvas and explain the reason why? The dark threads are as needful in the skillful weaver's hand as the golden threads of silver He has patterned for His plan." We don't understand what God's doing. One day we will. And one day when the shuttle ceases to fly, the Lord will reveal to us. We'll see the big picture. We'll see what God's doing. My encouragement to you is don't jump ahead of Him. We'll talk about that even more Sunday. But don't jump ahead of God. God may be right there ready to actually do something for you. He may be right there ready to move. And we jump ahead of Him. Many have actually ruined their lives because they got impatient and jumped ahead of God. They've made mistakes that they really couldn't undo. It's comforting. It's trying, but it is comforting to know that He is right there at work in your life, and He has not forgotten you. Would you stand with me, please? Father, as we come before You, we thank You, Lord, for the day that You have given to us. Lord, I know that there are folks all over this congregation, probably every single person in this building, Lord, they are struggling with just issues or trials or burdens, Lord, pressures. Lord, may we learn, if nothing else today, that the pressures need to drive us to You, towards You. May we also learn that You're always at work, and we may not understand, we don't see the big picture, but Lord, You do. Father, I pray that You would speak to our hearts this week. I pray that You would help us, Lord, that we would just say, God, I'm not sure what You're doing or how You're doing it, but I pray that You would help me to be an instrument that You can use, that we would just be humble and in Your hands. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.